You're listening to Radio Maria, a Christian voice in your home. We now bring you the School of Mary, a kindergarten of the divine will, a practical and fun approach to understanding, developing, and applying the truths contained in the gift of living in the divine will.
And thank you, Radio Maria. I want to thank God above all for this opportunity to bring anyone who would like to listen, this, the kindergarten, the School of Mary, a kindergarten of the divine will. I'm Peter DePalm, and I'm joined by the Benedictine Daughters of Divine Will that are coming to us live via live stream from Italy today. So once again, we are indeed blessed. Yeah, every day we're blessed. Every day we awaken. Gratitude is something I think we take for granted sometimes. So maybe perhaps in this program and moving forward, we may think about, pray about, and give thanksgiving to our blessed Lord for every moment, especially when we wake. Grateful to have awakened today, both physically as well as spiritually, and truly blessed to be alive at this time. We're going to begin with prayer, as we always do, and our prayer is going to be a supplication. The supplication is taken in the Virgin Mary of the Kingdom. It's day 31. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. My dear Heavenly Mother, I am back in your maternal arms. And as I look at you, a sweet smile appears on your purest lips. Today you are rejoicing, and it seems as if you wish to confide something yet more surprising to me, your child. Oh, Holy Mother, I entreat you to touch my mind and purify my heart with your maternal hands so that I may understand your holy lessons and put them into practice. All of this we ask through Christ our Lord. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. So welcome, everyone. Welcome, sisters from San Marino. I think you're in San Marino, no?
No, we are in Talamello.
Oh, Talamello. I see. That's why I don't gamble. I always lose. I had a 50-50 chance there, and I still lost. But you know, sisters,
we are everywhere in the world.
Well, that's right. That's right. And so is our Lord. What is our Lord? Oh, my goodness. What does our Lord tell us and tell Louisa? He says, I don't have the volume in front of me, he says, stop looking for me in all these places. If you want to be assured of finding me, look within yourself. I mean, this whole breath of this interior coming of our blessed Lord is so spectacular. And it's so in line with what God has done for 2,000 years, but he's sort of flipping the script a bit. You know, we've been chasing butterflies. We've been looking for God in all places. And of course, every place we go, we find him, except if they're not so nice places. But now God is telling us, okay, I'm going to make this so easy. I'm going to make myself so accessible to you and to everyone who wants me that all you need to do is call me, and call me from your interior. That's where God resides. And you know, this near far of God is a concept that goes way, way back. In fact, the church, understands it now, but at a certain point in time, it didn't understand it. Back in the 1200s, I think it was the 1300s, Margarita Porrete was a woman, a religious woman, not consecrated religious, but sort of like the first lay religious group of women. And again, women were not very involved in the church from a demonstrative perspective back then. And she wrote a book, some memoirs about the near far of God. It's called something like The Simpleness of the Soul, or The Simple, something like that. I didn't plan on talking about it, but it's really great. And she talked about God being so close to us, not a million miles away. And she said it, and she presented it with such passion that she was ridiculed, she was ostracized, and she was eventually put to death because of her views. But then again, I think 100 years, 200 years after that, her writings were sort of resurrected, and someone said, well, you know what? These really are not heretical. Think about this. And then the mystical perspective of our faith began to grow. And again, this is going back 800 years ago. So again, the near far of God, we understand well now, and I think much better than we did before. And I think we're really, really grateful to be alive at this time. because we are free to discuss this near far of God. We are free to say God is within us. And that's what Jesus tells Luis and tells each and every one of us. So again, this explication, this Article 66, which allows everything that's been given to us, nothing's being added to it, nothing's being taken away from it, but a better understanding is being afforded to us through this explication. And again, it's the role of the mystics. It's their words which awaken this mysticism, this spirituality that is in each and every one of us, but unfortunately, since the fall of Adam, has been relatively dormant. Sisters?
Yeah, we live in the mystical body of Jesus, the church. This mystical, we are all connected. And in one sense, you make me think, especially in this time, this truth that you told us, especially in this time, Christmas time, we have to meditate on the mystery of the incarnation. And the incarnation, in this sense, is not only a historical event that makes us visible God on the earth to stay with us, to make redemption, etc. He was conceived in the womb of the Virgin Mary, and especially through the writings of Luisa Picareta, we can read that and that moment, the power and the immense love of the divine will conceived in the womb of Mary, Jesus, but in Jesus we were all present. So this was the first mystery. But if we realize that in all that he did, since he was conceived, we were present. We were present in all his life, in all his human act, human and divine act, in his passion, his death. So, you know, also in the resurrection, if we think. We are all in God, and God is already present in us. This truth only a mystical soul can tell. We are in a journey. We are learning. We are learning this truth through the knowledge of the church, the Bible, the readings of Luisa. But the souls that have the special grace to have the experience of God can tell this like a normal thing, because they have the touch. They touched God inside of them. And we have to really believe this can happen to me too. We can start this meditation from, I start my meditation from volume 33, November 25, 1934. And I was reading these passages. I was thinking, okay, we are in Christmas time. Oh, so who is the person is on the center of our attention? It's Jesus. He is in the cradle. Oh, we look at him. We are waiting for him. But it's not only the feast of the baby Jesus. It's the feast of the Holy Trinity. Because who make Jesus present? It was conceived by the Holy Spirit. Oh, it's the feast of the Holy Spirit, the triumphal feast of the Holy Spirit. And what happens? We told before that we were conceived in all together in Jesus. It's our feast, because we were born in a divine way in Jesus. So it's our feast. Why? Because we became children of God. So is the feast of the Father. We can read from the volume 33, November 25, 1934. Luisa is writing, I am always back into the celestial inheritance of the divine fiat. In each act I do, it seems to me that I return into the arms of my celestial father. But to do what? To receive a gaze, a kiss, a caress, a little word of love, one more knowledge of his supreme being, so as to be able to love him more, and not only to receive, but also to give him the requital of his paternal tenderness. In the divine volition, nothing else is done other than God carrying out his paternity with a love tender and unspeakable, as though he were waiting for the creature in order to rock her in his arms, to say to her, now that I am your father and you are my daughter, oh, how I love the crown of my children around me. With them around me, I feel happier. I feel I am a father. He is a father since the eternity. But if we go there and starting, we go there, how? We have to start to believe that he is in us. So we go in our heart, and in our heart, we find the cradle with the baby Jesus, the power, the presence, the working of the Holy Spirit, and the eternal love of the Father is waiting for us. So it is something, is the feast of the communion. We are all together. And she continued to write, and there is no greater contentment than possessing a numerous offspring that shows their love and sonship toward their father. And by entering into the divine volition, the creature does nothing other than act as the daughter of the father. On the other hand, outside of the divine will, the rights of paternity and of sonship cease, because outside we are not more children, but serve of God. So we have to give for receive. It's like a commercial thing. Okay. Is a
commerce. Example. Right.
But in we are going in God and going in God only for receive love, not for receive something, for doing something, for stay with him. He is happy because we live like children. And what does it mean to live like children? It means to receive light from God. It's not more a position of autonomic person, a selfishness. There is no more selfishness. There is the need to be together. Why? For receive love, and love is life, life, divine life from God.
You know, sister, I'm so happy you mentioned about the paternity, because many times we get people that call up or in our conversations will say, you know what, I know God loves us, but why is God doing this? And he actually simply answers it. Of course, it's out of the incredible love he has for us, but it's actually what you said. He wants his paternity back. He wants to be our father. And we can put that into, you know, modern day times also. We can say, like, for example, the father whose child is emancipated and they can legally leave the house without being able to stop them. Well, you know, a 16-year-old, perhaps if they're emancipated, they're not ready to tackle the world. They cannot probably suffice for themselves, but we have to legally let them go. So, but does the father let the child go? No, of course, every day he's praying for that child to return. That's exactly what our blessed Lord's doing. And, you know, you mentioned also about how we were all conceived. Again, this is where that Article 66, how we are finding out so much more about what's already been given to us. Yes, we were all conceived at the conception of our blessed Lord. We learn in the City of God, the Blessed Mary Agreda, we learn that at the Last Supper, we were all present. We were all present. We also learn at the Last Supper that the first one to receive Holy Eucharist were not the priests. It was our Blessed Mother. The angel Gabriel came down from heaven and administered Holy Eucharist to our Blessed Mother. So again, all of this always happened. It was always there, but we just did not know about it. So that's why this divine will, it sounds incredible. It sounds unbelievable. Really? It, with God, all is possible. And we have to always remember that. Always have confidence. Always have faith and always have trust. Volume 2, Jesus tells us faith equals God. So when he returns, will he find God? Will God be in our hearts when he returns? That's faith, sister.
And with faith, we have merits, because the souls that live in the heaven, there are no more merits, because they don't live in faith. They live in the perfect vision of God. Right. We live in faith, and this is all that we need for acquired knowledge. The writings of Louisa, the Bible, the knowledge of the church, and especially the prayer also is a different kind of prayer, because the prayer in the divine will can help us to experience, because more we know, more we desire to know, we desire more to stay with Jesus, to stay with God. And Jesus said to Louisa, every time you do an act in the divine will, you receive more knowledge. So step by step, we know more and we desire more and we love more and we live more like Jesus.
Right. It's just incredible. And again, it's perfect. And the more we understand it, we're not perfect, so we can't understand God's perfection, but he's allowing us to understand this little by little, every single day, a little bit more. Hello, Sister Gemma.
Hello, Peter. Hello, everyone. I would like just to add something of what you said at the beginning, saying that we need to look for Jesus inside of our heart. And I'm sure a lot of people are doing the novena of the divine will of baby Jesus. And so far, I'm seeing every day that Jesus, he's in our heart. It's saying that he's in our heart, and he wants us to be there too with him, to give company to him, and we are in the as you said, that we find Jesus in our heart. We just need to make a bit of silence, and we'll find Jesus inside of us. And Luisa, every time Luisa had this experience and Jesus was disappearing maybe for a few days, and Luisa was like upset and telling Jesus, why you disappear? Where were you? And he was always coming out from his heart, from her heart, saying, I was right here next to you. I was in your heart. And
She was panicking when she didn't see Jesus. She really did. Yeah. She said, where are you? And she really speaks sternly sometimes to him. And that was that beautiful relationship that they had also. And that's a relationship, sister, that I think our Lord wants us to have with him also, to be able to speak frankly with him.
Exactly.
Honestly.
And this is also what we do. We panic too when we don't see Jesus, when we are in trial or in a difficult moment. We don't see Jesus. We don't feel Jesus. We feel like Jesus abandoned us, but he didn't. He doesn't. He's right there. We just need to look for him in our heart. And also, I was reading a meditation from the Virgin Mary book on day 22. That's basically when Jesus was born. And in one sentence, it was Jesus was saying to all of us, saying, give me shelter in your hearts. So Jesus is begging us every day, especially in the novena, every day, saying to go to him, to welcome him in our heart, because he's there in our heart. But it's up to us if we really want to welcome him in our life or not. It's we have this beautiful things that's called freedom. That we can choose if we want him or not. He's always there. I will read something, some passages from the day 22, as I was saying, from the Virgin Mary's book, and say, you must know that it was midnight when the little newborn king came out from my maternal womb. The night turned into day. The one who was the Lord of light put to flight the night of the human will, the night of sin. And when I was reading this this passage, I was thinking, why did the Virgin Mary specify midnight? Why was so important, like, to say the time? And then I was thinking, probably because it's the midnight here in Italy. We have a saint that there is no more. It doesn't get more dark than midnight, and it's so true. Midnight is the point of the night, the darkest point of the night. And this is I was thinking is how our life. We at some point of our life, like when we are carrying the cross, it can get very dark, and that could be the midnight of our life. But then if we welcome Jesus, he can light that night. He can light that darkness that it seems that it's around us, because Jesus is light. And so it's beautiful that here it reminds us that Jesus was born at midnight, and then he gave light to everything. So we should think every time it seems like dark in our life, that if we welcome Jesus, we can switch on the lights. And it's not just a simple light. It's a very bright light.
And you know, sister, if we think about it, sorry to interrupt, the darker it gets, the easier it is to notice light. So, for example, the stars don't fall out of the sky during the day. They're there, but we just can't see them because they're eclipsed by the sun. Well, when dark comes, then we see the light of the stars. Again, the darker it gets, the more trials that we go through, the more crosses we experience, the more we actually reach, we cry, we beg, and we look for God. And sometimes that's the reason, the rationale behind the trials and tribulations. I won't say necessarily chastisements, because that's a punishment for our evilness. But, you know, think about it. I mean, I know growing up, I had three daughters, and they didn't like to get up for school. And, you know, to nudge them, I gently nudge them, wake up, it wouldn't work. I get a little more, nudge them harder, wouldn't work. And finally, I had to actually throw water on them, which didn't make my wife very happy because the bed got wet. And they would get up angry, but they got up. So God does the same thing. He has to keep ratcheting it up to get what he needs. And he needs us to awaken, to recognize him, and to know that he exists, and to welcome him, and to give back his paternity, like you said.
Yeah, that's so right. Then I will carry on with the same passage, but I'll move from that place that was saying, you must know that my whole joy was to hold my dear son Jesus on my lap. This is the Virgin Mary, obviously. But the divine will made me understand that I should place him in the manger as at everyone's disposal, so that whoever wanted could caress him, kiss him, and take him in the right arms as if he were their own. He was the little king of all. And every time I read this passage, it always struck me the fact that the Virgin Mary felt that was God's will to put Jesus in the manger there on the for everyone. Like for everyone. And in the Virgin Mary, she knew what we are going to do to Jesus. So despite of that, she put Jesus there for everyone. And I found it so beautiful, because I bet probably nobody, a mother especially, who is holding a newborn baby, will say, okay, I'll give it to you here, I'll give it to everyone, do whatever you want, even though she will know what we're going to do to him. I bet nobody will do that. And so this is so incredible, amazing, how the Virgin Mary, she gave baby Jesus to us. And she was also new, and she knew that she would one day she would say yes for the her maternity to all of us. So it's I don't know, it's something that we should ponder over. Yeah, it's so beautiful. And then it also says, my child, the divine will is demanding and wants everything, even the sacrifice of the holiest thing, and according to circumstances, even the great sacrifice of depriving oneself of Jesus. So, yeah, Jesus gave everything to us, and he wants from us everything. But it's mostly he wants from us that relationship. And then when we have that deep and intimate relationship with Jesus, we automatically give everything to him. We don't have to think what I give to Jesus, because it's automatic. It's like a couple who is married. It's like it becomes one. You give everything to him, and the wife give everything to her. It's natural. Like, you don't even have to plan it. And so this is the same thing. So with Jesus, we have to give everything to him. Even the things that we think is there, the most silly one, let's give it to him. I mean, we don't lose anything if we give it to him. So we should give everything to him, like all the acts of the day that we do, and all our thoughts and everything.
Yeah, I love that quote from the Blessed Mother, because again, it just shows once again her motherly instinct and her motherly love. You know, you're right. Jesus tells us that the divine will has to be our everything, has to be our life. He says we have to even give up holy things temporarily, and not forever. Give up holy things in order to embrace this, because once we then embrace the gift of the divine will, we can place everything under its umbrella. And then, of course, we know it can have a magnitude greater than that if we're just having a one-on-one. So that's understandable. So Jesus says, give up even holy things. But then Our Lady qualifies it a bit and makes it, subdues it a bit and says, okay, yes, give up even holy things, but always according to the circumstances. So there may be situations where that holy thing may be more important at the time than what our plans were to do in the divine will. Of course, we can do it all in the divine will, but we're talking about the study, we're talking about the meditation, we're talking about the prayers. So again, always due to the circumstance. I did find the quote from Luisa. It's actually from Volume 3, August 3rd, 1900. And there's a Jesus speaking to Luisa, stating, quote, "My daughter, why do you look for me outside of yourself while you can find me more easily within yourself? When you want to find me, enter into yourself, go deep into your nothing, and there, without yourself, in the most tiny circle of your nothing, you will find me." End quote. So that reminds me of, you know, it's in our nothingness that we're going to find our everything. And we know that Jesus tells us, we know our Blessed Mother tells us, and we believe what they tell us, that this divine will is the greatest gift that he has given to mankind and is the greatest gift that he can give to mankind. There's no more chasing butterflies. We have everything. God has been so gratuitous, so loving, and so generous that he's given us everything in the midst of probably the greatest evil that the world has ever seen. So thanks be to God. Thanks be to our Blessed Mother. We finally arrived. We're finally going back to that other side. Finally. I'm on the other side.
You're listening to Radio Maria, a Christian voice in your home. We now return to the School of Mary, a kindergarten of the divine will.
And thank you again, Radio Maria. And again, I think we should all thank Radio Maria. Thank God for the gift of Radio Maria. And it is a gift. It's something that comes to us through the grace of God. And, you know, to participate in that grace with what we can do is really our Catholic, our Christian obligation. We must help those who are helping others. You know, that's part of that communion of saints that we so treasure in our Catholic faith. So, you know, Christian certitude, Catholic certitude, we know, we're certain that God wins. But again, we don't know how many battles are going to have to be lost. So we want to be able to win as many battles as we can. And we know that through the work and the evangelization of Radio Maria, many battles are being won. And we need to keep that up. So please, it's almost Christmas. This is a time of generosity. It's a time of charity. We recognize also that charity, as Jesus articulates to us through Louisa, binds and sort of coagulates all the other virtues without which the glue would everything would fall apart. It's charity that must be the basis of all our virtues, because then it's real. It's coming from God. It's coming from God within us, as we learned. So please, if you can give generously, you may call 888-408-0201. That's 888-408-0201, or simply go to radiomaria.us. We will offer a gift for anyone pledging a donation, whether it be a one-time donation or a reoccurring monthly, which is even greater. We will send you a relic prayer card of Louisa Picchinetta, which actually has a piece of Louisa's clothing. It's a relic. And of course, relics cannot be sold and bought, but they can be given and they can be offered when exchanged for a donation for a worthy Christian Catholic cause. So please be generous if you can. God knows what we can do and what we cannot do. He's not asking for those to do that cannot do, but he is asking for those who can do to do. Does that make any sense? I think it does. Anyway, 888-408-0201 or radiomaria.us. Please, we have fun, but this is really serious business. This is for all of eternity, and that's a really, really long time. Sisters?
We are here. I was thinking what your last words, when you say when God, you look inside of our heart and to be sure that we will find Jesus. Yes. And this make me think about the spouse of the, we say in Italian, Cantico dei Cantici, the Song of Songs in the Bible. It is in the center of the Bible. And she was looking for the, so the spouse is the bride and the spouse, the man is the groom. So she was looking for the groom, and more she was growing in his desire. She was growing in the knowledge of also the groom. And you can start to read on the Song of Song, the word of the groom by the mouth of the bride. So she was growing in the knowledge. What we are doing now, we are growing in the knowledge of the divine will for try to be able to find him in our heart. And but the most important part that is called my attention is when she's not more able to find the bride. So what happens? She find it, but she find him, and after she didn't have the total possession of the groom. Why? Because it was winter. Because it was still winter. After, when all the creation was exploding in come la primavera? The spring, in the spring. And so at that point was the time of love, the time of the intimacy of the spouse can find the groom in her heart totally. Why? Because the winter is the symbol of our human will. So until we have the human will that reign in us, we can go in our heart, but we cannot find Jesus. We cannot find the cradle. We cannot find Mary. This is only our human reign. But when we have faith, but a true faith, I believe that is true. I believe in love that is possible. I have started to say no at my will. And little by little, only at that point, when it's spring, when I'm able to be to enter also in the resurrection of my soul, so I can find Jesus.
Yes. And, you know, importantly, you said that, you know, we're growing every day. And when we say that in the beginning also, you know, we have awakened both physically as well as spiritually. And that's true. Every time we read, every time we ponder, every time we listen to the writings of Louisa and everything that's given to us by the divine, well, we are growing. We are moving forward. But Jesus does say he has a really, really interesting delineation. And this is really important. And it's easy to do also. In volume 19, August 31st, 1926, Jesus tells Louisa, and he's explained this to us as well, quote, "Now how many things there are in my will that I must give to creatures, but they have to come into my will, into its kingdom, in order to receive them," end quote. So we have to be there to receive them. So God could not make it difficult, otherwise they would exclude most people. What does Jesus say in volume 6? How do you enter into this gift? You need to be in the state of grace. You need to have an ardent desire, basically a desire for this gift. And you must have an upright intention. We must want it for the right reasons, to please God first and foremost. That's it. And then we enter into the gift. And then the plethora, the abundance of gifts can be given because we're inside the divine will. It's very easy, as he said, easy and accessible to all, unless we didn't want it. It had to be accessible in all places, situations, and circumstances, just like Sister Elizabeth. Hello, Sister.
Hi, Peter. Yeah, like you said, very easy and accessible. I have a passage about it just from volume 36, December 25, 1938. Okay, just a quick question, Peter. I'm really curious about this. How much water were you pouring out on your daughters to wake them up? Like a bucket or?
Again, that also ratchet. I started with a spray bottle, which is the mist. And I literally
holy water?
Well, no, actually, I ran to the sink and I just took any water. It went from a mist bottle to actually pouring water like a baptism over their forehead. The bed got wet. My wife got very upset, but it worked. They got up. They weren't late for school, so you have to do it.
They didn't got upset. Just your wife.
They got really upset, and then I couldn't do water anymore. So my second way to wake them up is, I would put on volume 9, Luciano Pavarotti.
Wow.
And they would wake up screaming.
That was more gentle than the water.
It was more gentle, but it was really loud. It was right in their ear. I mean, I was a little, I wasn't sadistic, but I had to get them up and there was no other way to do it. And this, I had to do this for years. I had to, it was a small phase we went through, you know.
Thank God we have the Virgin Mary, who is a mother, so she knows. So I think I understand your wife as a mother. We have the Virgin Mary, who is gentle, waking up us every day and saying,
"That's true.
Hello,
that's true.
Go back
that's
to
true.
Jesus."
No, she's the best alarm clock. You pray to Our Lady to wake you up. It works all the time. You know, I have a very fondness to Our Lady. I mean, I'd probably be dead if it wasn't for Our Lady, but that's for a different day. Sister Elizabeth.
Yeah, I imagine your daughters now like Pavarotti really so much. We can sing something from Pavarotti afterwards.
Okay.
However, that was a joke. Okay, so Sister Teresa was talking just before about the Song of Songs, the passage that it was winter. And it's so interesting because that's the reading of today's Mass. And like it says, "Here, my beloved, he comes now I don't know to say it in English, but here, my beloved comes through the hills and mountains." Yes. And also today's day is in the O Antiphons. I'm sure you all know the O Antiphons. Like, it's an ancient, it dates from, I think, 3rd or 4th century, 7 days before Christmas. Like, each day has its own antiphon. And it explains, like, the virtues of, the attributes of Jesus, the attributes of God, like the the wisdom, the King of Kings, the Key of David, the root of Jesse, the Emmanuel. And today is O Audience. So he's like the light of light, the morning star, the new dawn. And like Sister Gemma was saying before, how the Italian like proverb, let's say, it can get more darker than the midnight, and then this audience is coming in this darkest place, probably or maybe the darkest point of the human history, and it's just so beautiful because like he has so many attributes, and we were just talking today with sisters at the lesson how this it is the love of God is ever deepening. The Most Holy Trinity among themselves, they are always loving each other more. The love is always so deepening, and that will be also with us one day when we get to heaven. I really, really hope and pray we all get there to heaven, and then we'll have these beautiful celebrations that we can't even imagine. And our knowledge and love for God will be ever, ever deepening. And so here in this passage, Jesus is talking how actually easy it is to make him be born in souls. So here he is explaining how. So, as I said, volume 36, December 25, 1938, The Descent of the Word. How easy it is to make Jesus be born as long as we live in his will. The paradise that the Queen of Heaven made Jesus find on earth. I stopped at the descent of the Word upon earth, and I felt sorry in seeing him all alone. My sweet Jesus, with unspeakable tenderness, surprising me, told me, "My dearest daughter, you're wrong. Loneliness is part of human ingratitude, but from the divine side, all our works accompanied me, never leaving me alone. Further, you must know that the Father and the Holy Spirit descended together with me, while I still remain in heaven with them. They came down on earth within me, since we are inseparable. We cannot be separated, not even if we wish to be so. At the most, we bilocate ourselves so as to maintain our throne in heaven while forming our throne on earth, being separated, never. At the most, the Word took the operative part, but always with the concourse of the Father and the Holy Spirit. Furthermore, in the act of my descent from heaven, everyone moved to be my court and render me the honors I deserve. The sky courted me with all its stars, rendering me the honor of my immutability and of my everlasting love. The sun courted me, paying me the honor of my eternal light. Oh, how well it praised the variety of its effects." So as in these writings and in the excesses of love and in the Virgin Mary, we actually see like we can kind of imagine, and then also by doing acts, be there together with Jesus in everything he was experiencing, like he's calling us to do so. And we can finally see like how it was really for God to become flesh. And in the excesses of love, we can also like today's excess of love, the sixth day, is we're like praying Our Lady to make a little space together with Luisa. We're praying Our Lady to make a little space in her womb so that we can also go there with Jesus and experience like together with him what he was experiencing, like the tightness and the darkness and everything. And that was still in Our Lady's womb that is like most holy and everything. But when he gets born, for us is an immense happiness for human generations. But then it actually begins like kind of, let's say, real suffering for him, because now he's in the world that is fallen world, that is full of sin. While he was in Mary's womb, he was in little paradise that is still like, I mean, for God, it was so tight, of course, like it explains in the excesses of love. But him being born into this world of ours that became like this because of the original sin and because of our sins, ever like more fallen, and up until that point, you know, that he was born, and even before, when Our Lady started doing her acts and laying down the kingdom of heaven. So for a little baby Jesus being born is really like, of course, an immense joy, but also like suffering, you know. Can you imagine? Like the two kind of the two sides of same coin, the immense joys and immense sufferings. And then it continues. Jesus,
oh, sister, just for a moment, I'm struck by that, because think about this. This is our blessed Lord. This is God, and he comes, you know, in the womb of a virgin, again, in that tight space. He's born in a manger, okay, in a relatively unclean stable. This is the King of Kings. So see how the world at that time, how the Jewish people, their perception of the Messiah was going to be this gladiator coming from the sky, wiping out the Romans. And God, you know, he did the double step. He totally confounded them and brought our blessed Lord in the way that they thought he'd be here least. So when we look through our lives, we have to look also at the things that we've had difficulty in, may have been the greatest opportunities for us to grow in our virtues and to grow in faith with God. So those things that don't look good sometimes can benefit us. Again, perception's 100%, and most times we have the wrong perception, but God here is giving us the correct bifocals, the right grade, and he's saying, okay, if you just wear my bifocals of the divine will, you will be able to see clearly now. And I'm not going to sing that song for you, I promise.
Yeah, like you said, Peter, it's really, I mean, so many times in our everyday life, we can maybe think, okay, like, okay, for Christmas, I will be very charitable, and I don't know, I will do some charity work, and I mean, which is all so beautiful and excellent, but then maybe we can get so angry and upset and not forgiving about, I don't know, our parents or our sons or daughters, like not making or our our fellow sisters, like not doing something as we imagine it should be done, like, or doing something right, wrong, and just getting upset about it, and like, you know, hitting as our own will. But then on the other hand, thinking that we're doing it right because, I don't know, we are praying, or, yeah, you know, we all have this, our conception of things, how it should be, mm-hmm. like Jewish people had them. So, but what Jesus said to all of this, the cure for all of this, this was my primary scope. To reorder the kingdom of my will in the midst of my children. I would never have created the world if I was not to have children who looked like me and lived in my own will. My will would find itself in the same condition as a poor sterile mother who is not able to generate and therefore form her own family. But my will does have the power to generate and to form its long generations, its own family. Then I continued to think about the descent of the divine word, saying to myself, how could Jesus be born within our souls? Okay, now, only now I'm getting to the point. I will be quick now. I'm sorry. And my dear baby said, my daughter, to make me be born is the easiest thing, more so since we do not know how to do difficult things. Our power facilitates everything. Provided that the creature lives in our will, all is done. As soon as the soul wants to live in it, she has already formed a home for your Jesus. At the moment she wants to start doing her acts, she conceives me. As she does her acts, she makes me be born. As she loves in my will, so she clothes me with light, warming me from the great coldness of the creatures. Every time she gives me her will to take my own, I am amused. I have my toy to play with, and I sing my victory over the human will, feeling like the little triumphant king. So it would be a great, great gift to Jesus if we, for example, decide, you know, how we are always for Christmas, we are giving gifts to our loved ones. But if, for example, we would do acts and rounds for our, let's say, enemies, I mean, maybe not enemies, but the ones that we dislike or that we know they dislike us, or, I mean, everyone has persons like this, like to pray for them in the divine will, to offer their divine version or of the their lives to God, and to pray that Jesus be born in their hearts.
Yes, charity. You're right. Charity comes in all different forms. Sister?
Yeah. Last thing.
I got about 3 minutes left.
Oh, okay. I want to add something. I was reading also a passage from the same volume 33, and there is the passage from January 20, 1935. And Jesus say, now you must know, and when Jesus say to Luisa, you must know is an important thing, that one who lives in my divine will acquires the three prerogatives. First, the right of divine life. Everything she does, it is life that she feels. If she loves, she feels the life of love, and has life, she feels it flow within her mind, in her breath, into her heart, in everything. She feels the vital virtue that forms within herself not only the act which is subject to ceasing, but the continuation of an act that forms the life, forms the life. So, this is the divine life that we acquire, entering a divine will. It's not an act that sees. We do an act, okay, now it's finished, it's done, it's finished. No. In God, all is in continual act. And if we find Jesus, if we find with faith the presence of God in our life, we go step by step to back the eternal life. So there is no more dead for our soul, because she's always in a communion with God. Now, after the first prerogative, the second one is enter the field, that is the right of property. And it continues. And since she possesses these as life, it is right that she possesses these divine properties as her own, so she feels as owner of sanctity, owner of light, grace, love, and of all the divine goods. And only my will there is this ownership. Outside is not possible. From the second prerogative, the third arises, the right of glory. So we pass through the divine life. We became owner of the divine life, and the third is the glory. So the divine life, we enter into the Father for take the divine life. The second step is to be child, because we became owner. And how we became owner? Through Jesus, only with the holy humanity of Jesus. And the third is the glory. And this is very the last thing. This last part made me think about Romans chapter 8, verses from 28 to 30. We know that by turning everything to their good, God cooperates with all those who love him, with all those that he has called according to his purpose. They are the ones he chose especially long ago and intended to become true images of his son, so that his son might be the eldest of many brothers. He called those he intended for this. Those he called, he justified. And with those he justified, he shared his glory. So Amen. We share the divine life. We became children of God, but we be glorified. Since now, step by step on the earth, with the reign of the divine will.
Amen. Thanks
to Luisa Piccarreta.
Yes, yes. Thanks be to God. Thank you, sisters. And you know, something that just drew me. All three sisters today, English is their second language, but you'd never know it. So thanks be to God. I'd like to close on the first words of our Blessed Mother when she came out of the womb of St. Anne. Her first words to our Blessed Lord was, thank you. Gratitude is what we must do during this Christmas season. And don't forget Radio Maria. And your
Merry Christmas to everyone.
Merry Christmas. Love everyone. God bless.
Thank you so much for listening to the Radio Maria podcasts. It's thanks to listeners like you who donate that enable us to continue delivering quality content to listeners around the world. If you'd like to contribute and help us keep spreading the message of Our Lady's Son, please consider making a donation. You can reach us at 888-408-0201 or simply visit our donations tab on our website at radiomaria.us. Your generosity truly makes a difference. This has been a Radio Maria production.